I know I've asked you guys this a lot over the last several weeks, but I want you to think about it again because I think it's just so important to remember. It's so important to remember who it was that brought you to Jesus. Who was it? What were the circumstances around you putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Think about the beauty of that. Think about how God worked through that. Maybe it was an extremely difficult time. Maybe it was a really, really hard, difficult time in your life, but you came to know Jesus. And so as you think about who brought you to Jesus, the ultimate question that we've been asking is, are you going to be willing to be one to bring someone to Jesus? Are you going to be the one in someone's life? That's the question that we're asking, and ultimately today, even though we end this series today, this is a question that needs to continue to be a part of our lives, a part of our thinking, a part of our DNA as a follower of Jesus, is that we would be bringing others to Jesus Christ, that we would be the one in someone else's life. And so will you be the one in someone else's life? The question that we started to answer last week, how do I get to play a part in making disciples? How do I get to play a part in being that one? And we talked about that specifically from Mark chapter 3, and there were three things that specifically we talked about, actions that Jesus did as he was choosing his disciples, as he was choosing those that he would send out, as those that he would make disciples of. Number one is to pray. Number one is to pray. That shouldn't be a shocking revelation to any of us. That should be pretty obvious, as Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus it continues to be one who prays on our behalf, intercedes on our behalf, even to this very day. Prayer is essential to our lives as followers of Jesus, and it's essential that we ask God, who's the one that you want me to disciple? Help me to be willing to be that person. Help me to be willing to be that someone in someone else's life. Who, God, do you want me to disciple? Pray intentionally, asking those questions, intentionally seeking after God. And really, again, prayer is not about us bending God's will to us. It's about us bending to God's will. Being willing to say, okay, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll talk to whoever you want me to talk to. Yes, it may freak you out. Some of y'all are like just completely freaked out by talking to somebody that you don't necessarily know very well. I get that. Sometimes I get really nervous about that. Some of you, that's not a big deal. Like, you're like my dad. You could go up to anybody, anywhere, and have a conversation with them and find out their whole life story in 15 minutes. My dad was a master at that. And you would sit there and ask him, Dad, did you know that guy? No, I didn't even know that guy, but now I know everything about him, and I'm praying for him. That was my dad, and some of you are like that, and I'm blown away by that. Miles is like that, praise God for people like him, and that's just not me. So I have to pray and say, God, give me the strength, but help me not to avoid it. And I got to be honest, there's times, man, I'm walking through Walmart praying that, and I see somebody, I want to go down a different aisle. Hey, anybody else like that? I'm just being honest. This is just confession time, right? So I'm praying and saying, God, who do you want me to disciple today? And then secondly, invite. Invite is so important. It's not just praying for. It's not just saying, okay, God, who do you want me to talk to? It's actually going up to and talking to somebody, putting it into action, inviting someone. Jesus does this. Come, follow me, he says to these individuals that again, maybe knew about Jesus, interacted with Jesus, but had not yet been following Jesus. And he goes to them and says, come, follow me. He invites them. He puts his prayer into action. And so are you going to invite this one to know Jesus? Are you going to invite this one to understand who Jesus is and see Jesus in your life? And then thirdly, go. Go, put it into practice. Go, do life together. Jesus does this with other disciples. He goes and does life together with them, and they get into the Word together, and they pray together, and they serve together, and they just do life together. However that looks. Sometimes that was in the temple. Sometimes that was walking down the road. Sometimes that was dinner at somebody's house. That's the thing. I love studying the life of Jesus because over 14 times in the Gospels, over 14 times, Jesus is seen eating with people. I'm like, yes. I love that about Jesus. He's sitting, eating with people. And that was just, those weren't even the times where it was a part of what they would do as far as Passover and all those other things that they would celebrate together over a meal. Something that happens over a meal that is amazing. And so Jesus, he would work on that and do that. And he would disciple people over meals. He would disciple people as they walked. He would disciple people as they did ministry together. He was all about going. So as you think about this one, as you think about and you've been praying about, who am I going to disciple? Who's the one that I'm going to disciple? Who's my one? And as you think about that and you think about praying and inviting and going, maybe a question that pops up, I know it's one that pops up in my head, is what do I do with this one? When I'm eating with them, when I'm walking with them, when I'm doing life together with them, what do I do? And just like the answer was to the question of how, the question is, again, do it like Jesus did it. So how did Jesus do it? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. This is Jesus giving a command to his disciples, but really, really it is an overview. It really is a summary of how Jesus went about discipling people. And so as we look at this and think about this, Jesus is about to leave. He's about to ascend into heaven until he comes again. And by the way, Jesus is coming again. Amen? He is coming again, and it may be soon. And I don't care what your belief is about when he's coming, whether you're pre, post, mid, whatever, doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus Christ is coming again, and my friend, you better be ready. That's all that really matters. Be ready, he's coming again. And so the Bible is very clear about that. The signs of the times seem to appear that we are getting closer to that. By the way, every day that you wake up, it's closer to Jesus coming back. I'm just saying. Either that or, you know, if you don't wake up, you're going to be with him anyway. So either way, it's a good thing. It's exciting. And to see what God is doing, even in the mess of all the mess of this world, it is all working out together for good. And that's Jesus coming back again and setting all things right. Woohoo! That should be exciting. Not like, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid. Don't be afraid. He's in control. He's never been out of control. He knows exactly what's going on. All right, there's my little soapbox. Now I'm going to get off it. All right, here we go. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and said to them, verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." What a beautiful, beautiful picture of the Trinity. Nowhere in the Bible is the word Trinity mentioned, but obviously the picture here is of the Trinity. Notice it says in the name. It doesn't say names, name, singular. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The King James Version says, "to the end of the world." The end of the world is coming, y'all. It is. It is coming. And who knows when it's going to be? We do not know. If somebody tells you, know that they know the day and the hour, liar. They do not know. They do not know when the day is coming that the end will be coming. They do not know. The Bible makes that clear that no one knows the day or the hour. Even Jesus, who is God, said, "I don't even know." He limited himself while he was here on earth, and he, while he was walking here on earth, did not know when the end would come. He even talks about that. But the end is coming, and the beauty is, God says, "I will be with you. I will be with you even to the end of this age." Notice what he says, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Disciples are made. Disciples are made. It's not an accident. They appear. They are made. When I was in 4-H, one of the things that I had to do, or not had to do, I chose to do in 4-H was to make, baked goods, a cake, let's just say that. And I chose to bake those things. I chose to make those things. They did not just happen. I didn't just get the idea and I want to bake a cake and I'm going to show it in the fair. And then whammo bamble, it just appeared in the kitchen. Whoa. No, I had to make it. I had to put the ingredients together. I had to do all the different things that go with making a cake, and I had to make the cake. And there were certain ingredients that were key to it being a cake that was worth eating. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, have y'all ever made something where you forgot some of the key ingredients, and then you went to eat it, and it was like, ooh, whoa, what's wrong with that? Maybe you didn't want to say it because you're a loving individual and you're like, you just ate it anyway. I've had, not at my house, but I've had this at other places where I'm just like, I'm not sure what you didn't do with that, but I'm just going to suck it up and eat it anyway. And that was awful. Like, what am I doing? Some of y'all, anybody identify with that? Anyone? All right, a few of you. Great, good. So there are some key ingredients, and there's two here that are vital that we understand, and they're found in verse 19. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Two ingredients. Number one is trust. Number one is trust, or faith, or salvation, or relationships. That is what Jesus is speaking of when he says, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them is a metaphor and it's literal. It's a picture of salvation. Why does someone get baptized? Not to be saved. A person gets baptized because they want to express an outward expression of an inward change. Something has happened in my heart. I have put my faith and trust in Jesus, and I want to publicly let others know I'm a follower of Jesus. Baptism does not save you, but it is a symbol. It is an outward expression of an inward change. That is what Jesus is addressing here. If you are going to disciple someone, they must be a faith follower of Jesus. If you have never put your faith and trust in Jesus, my friend, you are not a disciple of Jesus. You are not a follower of Jesus. If you have been baptized, but you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are not a follower of Jesus. Baptism does not save you. Coming to church does not save you. Reading the Word of God does not save you. The only thing that saves you is Jesus and what Jesus Christ has done. And so what Jesus is simply saying to his disciples is, number one, trust, a relationship, faith, whatever you want to call it there. That's number one. If your one that you're thinking about has not put their faith and trust in Jesus, this is where you need to start with them. Showing them the love of Christ, talking to them about who Jesus is, sharing how they can put their faith and trust in Jesus. That is where you've got to start with discipleship, is salvation, faith, trust, putting their faith and trust in Jesus. Yes, it is an outward expression, but Jesus is also talking about literally baptizing people. Why? Because they need to express outwardly, publicly, their faith. Even the man on the cross, even though he was not baptized publicly, out in front of everyone, put his faith and trust in Jesus and exclaimed that to those that were around. So don't skip the step. Don't skip this ingredient, because this ingredient is vital. There must be a saving knowledge of Jesus. If your one does not know Jesus, that is where you must start. So ingredient number one is trust. Trust. Talk to them about their faith. Talk to them about, do they know Jesus? Not just know about Jesus, do they have a relationship with Jesus? Have they ever come to that place where they realize their need for Jesus? The second thing is where he says, verse 20, teaching them to observe or obey. Number two is obey. You remember the old song, Trust and Obey? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So again, this should not be a shocker that this is a vital ingredient to being a follower of Jesus. Being a disciple of Jesus is obedience. Jesus even said it, if you love me, you will obey my commands. You will do what I have told you to do. Now, Jesus doesn't tell us to do these things in some way to restrict our lives. That's what the world is telling you. That's what the world is saying, is that the Bible, is that Jesus, that all these things that he says, oh, that's restricting on your life. He's just trying to control your life. He's just trying to manipulate you and keep you from fun and keep you from great things. And I, to that, would say, amen. Yes, he is. Because those things, while yes, may be fun, the Bible declares very simply, sin is fun for a season. But in the end, it will destroy you. So why does Jesus tell us what he tells us in his word? So that we're not destroyed. Does anyone like to live? I'm just asking, do you really enjoy life? Because here's the deal, you need to come to understand, and as you read the Bible and you understand about a relationship with Jesus, real living is not indulging my life in sin. Real living is not, oh, I can do whatever I want, and I'll just ask Jesus to forgive me. That's not freedom. That's not liberty in Christ. That's you at the center of your faith. Sorry, wrong answer. You don't get to be at the center of your faith. Jesus does. He's the only one that deserves it. And so what do we got to do? We got to come alongside people and help them understand, what does the Bible say? What does Jesus teach? And as we look at, and you think about Jesus' life, what he did this over and over and over again with his disciples. He would teach them. Now, did they get it perfectly? No. Do you get it perfectly? No. Do I? Absolutely not. Falter all the time. All the time. But Jesus still loves me. Jesus still loves you. He even tells us in his word, he didn't come to condemn you, and that's not what I'm trying to do here either. I'm just saying to you, listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, obedience is vital to following Jesus. And where do we find all this stuff? His word. The Bible. Yes, it's the book for me. Stand alone on the word of God. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then if that's not enough, I love this phrase, the creme de la resistance, or the cherry on top, or the caramel drizzle on top, or the chocolate frosting whatever on top. I don't care, whatever your, you know, creme de la resistance is on top. We've got two things here that are awesome. Look at verse 18. Jesus says, all authority has been given me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I am sending you. One of the things that we have that is awesome, that should blow our mind, is that we have the authority of Jesus. Because of Jesus' authority, we are commanded to go. It is His authority that sends us. It's His authority that guides us. It's His authority that empowers us. It's His work. It's His message. It is what He longs for us to do and will continue to do in and throughout the entire world. Matthew chapter 24, Revelation chapter 7, again, passages you should write down. Go and read them. At the throne of God in Revelation 7, every nation, every tribe, every tongue will be represented at the throne of God. Matthew chapter 24 says, and the gospel will be preached in all the world. You and I have a choice. Do we want to join that train? Do we want to get on that train and be a part of what God is doing around the world? I don't know about you, but I do. That's why we're going to Honduras this week, is to be a part of what God is doing around the world. And listen, you can choose today to say no. You are not going to stop Jesus. I don't care what laws they try to pass in this nation. It will not stop Jesus. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It will not stop what Jesus is going to do and is doing in our nation. They can reverse every single freedom that we have. It will not stop the message of Jesus Christ. It won't. Look at any nation in the world where they have tried to rid their nation of God. And you know what it's done? It's made that explode. You cannot stop God. Good luck with that. And I say that to any politician that walks in here and desires to say whatever, I'd say, good luck stopping God. Have fun with that. You are not going to stop God. His authority is on our side. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I love this statement. An impossible task is Him possible. Ooh, I like that. That's good stuff right there. I wish I could say I made that up. I didn't. I read it somewhere, and I don't remember where, but I read it, and it stuck in my brain, which is hard to do. An impossible task is Him possible. That's number one. Number two is His presence. Verse 20. I am with you always. My friend, you are never alone. Ever. Never. You are never alone. He is always with you. He will never leave you alone. He will give you the strength that you need. He will give you the words to say. He will give you the power in order to do whatever it is that He calls you to do. You are never alone. God is always with you, even to the end of this world. We have His presence. We have His presence. Think about the conditions that Jesus leaves His disciples in. Who's in charge in government? Rome. Rome is in charge in that time. They are killing Christians for fun. They're about to throw them into arenas and have them destroyed. There is no church. There's no church. Jesus is leaving them. They don't have automobiles. They don't have anything to write with. The circumstances that Jesus is leaving them in are just almost impossible. Remember what we said? Impossible is Him possible. And so Jesus leaves these disciples saying, go, make disciples. He doesn't bring up all the conditions, all the things that are happening in the world. He just says, go. Go and make disciples. I am on your side. I have all authority, and I am with you always. Go. Make disciples. Listen, I don't know what earlier you guys prayed and asked God to speak to your heart. So here's the question. What is He saying to you today? What is God saying to you today? What did God speak into your life today? Are you willing to identify that? Are you willing to say, this is what God is telling me? This is what I know I need to do. And then can I ask you something? Would you ask God to lead you to share it with someone? You see this wall over here. The guys are going to move it in just a second over to the center. And we're going to spend the rest of the service in this time. I don't know what you want to call it. Invitation, I guess, is what it is. But basically, what we've been saying to you is, who's your one? Are you going to be one who introduces someone to Jesus? Are you going to be one who's going to disciple someone? And in the front of you, in the pew, is a card and a pen. There's a little card. It looks like this. It's got a little string tassel on top of it. Would you take one? Take one right now. Grab it. Take that pen. And I want you to think about who is your one. And here's the deal. The guys are going to move this over. Miles and Niall are going to be up here. And they're going to pin these to the wall. And so in just a little bit, the worship team is going to sing. They're going to lead in worship. And as they're doing that, you make your way down, hand the card to Miles or Niall, and they'll get it up on the wall. And it's just an outward expression of what inwardly God is doing in your heart. It's not baptism, no, but it is, again, a symbol. It's an opportunity to say, okay, God, I'm not just going to think about this. I'm not just going to pray about this. I'm going to do something with this. And the first step is for you to make it public. Now, if there's people around you that are, you can go ahead and push that back. If there's someone near you that's like, I can't walk the aisle, I can't do that, would you please take my card? Would you guys just be willing to do that? Take their card, bring it down, and just serve others that are around you that aren't able to get up and move like you do, all right? So take your card. You just ask God, God, speak to my heart. I'm asking you, what has he spoke to your heart about today? Are you willing to share it with somebody? Maybe that one that you're supposed to share it with is the one that you're going to identify as your one. Now, here's the thing. Don't write their full name on the card. Don't do that. Just put their first name or initials, all right? First name or initials. Those of you that are online, you can do the same thing in the messages, you can put the name of the person. Don't put the full name, because you do that, and it's going to tag them. And then you're going to be like, I have to have an explanation. So maybe you should anyway, and then you'd have to talk to them. But whatever, don't put their full name. Please don't do that. Just put their first name, or even just put their initials on the card. All right? And so in just a little bit, worship team, you guys go ahead and come on down. I want you just to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to think about this. Pray about this. God, who's my one? Who's the one that I'm going to write on this card? Who's the one that I'm going to go forward with, and I'm going to do what I can to lead them to Jesus, to disciple them? It is not enough just to say, hey, come with me to church. We're not making church addicts here, folks. We are making disciples. Disciples. So be praying. Who is this one? Write their name, just their first name or initials on the card. And when the worship team begins to play, you guys, you can get up, start bringing them down. I'm just going to ask you to just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Let's just make this an intimate time for you and God. Nobody needs to be looking around. If you can't bring the card down, tap somebody next to you that maybe looks like they can, I don't know, whatever, and have them bring it down, and the guys are going to pin it to this wall. At least they're going to try. And don't worry, if we don't get yours up by the end of the service, we'll make sure that it's up. And here's what's going to happen. We're going to start praying over that. On Wednesday nights, the prayer team is going to be praying over this wall and the names on this wall and the prayer requests that are on this wall. You'll see on the one side it says, how can we pray for you? If you've got a prayer request and you want to write it down on a card and bring it up and have the guys put it on the wall, you can do that. You can start now bringing those cards. But who's your one? Don't be afraid to just walk down here and hand it to these guys, and they'll put it there. But you be thinking about it. Just keep your eyes closed, praying about it, asking God, show me.
Sing this last verse as your prayer. and I know I need you, Jesus. And I know this heart needs healing. So from my knees I lift this prayer to you, my Savior. For my life and for the world, you are the answer, Jesus.
Father, we don't just sing that, we believe that. We believe that the answer that this world needs is Jesus. And God, we've brought these names before you, written on cards, and Lord, we trust, we believe that you're going to do a work in their life. You're going to bring them to a saving knowledge of you. We're asking right now that, God, you would begin to tear down the walls around their hearts, around their minds, and that, God, for some, they've been praying for this individual for years. I pray that this year would be the year that they would put their faith and trust in you. And God, that you would use each and every person that brought this card forward, that, Lord, you would use them to disciple this person, that you would help them to be able to lead them into understanding who you are and what you've commanded and how they can obey you and follow you. And God, that we would be all about making disciples who are making disciples, and that this would be a way of life for every single one of us. God, give us wisdom, give us the strength, give us the right words to say and when to say it, and hold our tongues when we need not to say things. God, help us to just be in tune with what your Spirit is doing in our life and in the life of this one that we've identified. God, that we'd be found faithful to being the one in their life, being that someone that brings them to Jesus. And Lord, we know it's going to be more than just us. There's going to be other people working in their lives too. And it's amazing how you do that, how you draw people across paths and how that works all together. And thanks for just letting us play a part of it. We do believe that the world needs Jesus. And we do believe the world needs freedom. But the freedom that this world needs is a freedom that can only be found in Jesus. Freedom for not just this life, but for eternity. So God, we're trusting you now that as we move forward from here, as we go and we make disciples, that God, you would do incredible, incredible things. Thanks for your love. Thank you for your son, Jesus. In his name I pray. Amen. Just so you know, this wall is going to be displayed every week over at the cafe. And if you've got prayer requests that you want to add to it, or you've got a name you want to add to it anytime, you can do that on Sundays. Just go over to the cafe, pick up some coffee while you're at it. Do good, right? Provide hope. And then put that on the wall. And we'd encourage you to utilize this resource for that. And we will be praying. The staff will be praying over these every week. The prayer team that meets on Wednesdays will be praying over it every week, and so encourage you to utilize the resource. And again, if your card isn't up there yet, it will be. Don't worry, we'll get it up there. This wood is a little harder than I thought. So anyway, great plans. But hey, God is good, amen? This world needs Jesus, amen? And so thankful for you guys and your response this morning.